Walking in a different kind of way. Here, let's try it again. Here we go.
Oh, you ask me how I can walk this way when things are looking down.
How did you notice the clock over here? The left channel. Come in. Come in. I don't know. What, this is wired. Come on. You're allowed to clap twice. Just like this. Follow the Irish girls. Here we go. Ready?
Oh, you ask me how I can walk this way when things are looking down. You ask me how I can walk this way with problems all around. You ask me how I can sing when everything is going wrong. Well, ever since Jesus came into me, I've been singing a brand new song. I'm singing a song of victory redeemed, redeemed. Singing a song of victory redeemed, redeemed. He touched my heart and he captured me. I lift to Jesus, lift to me, and all right.
That was excellent, man. You came out, really. The virility of what I knew was him. Right. You guys came out of the closet. You admit it. You're men. It's great. Okay. Now, for some of you sisters, you never heard the song before, right? So we got to the middle there, and you say, what's going on? The guys are saying, I'm singing a song of victory, redeem, redeem. And somebody goes, he precious blood has set me free. You see, that's your line. Okay? So the men are singing redeemed, redeemed, because they were dirty rotten sinners who got saved. And the angels are singing, redeemed. Okay, so this is, remember that next time. Are you ready? Let's try it again. Oh, they said it's four. Telling you.
Hello, you ask me how I can walk this way when things are looking down. You ask. I can talk this way with problems all around. You ask me how I can change when everything is going wrong. Well, ever since Jesus came into me, I've been singing a brand new song. I'm singing a song of victory redeemed. I'm singing a song of victory redeemed. He crossed the bar and he captured me, and if the Jesus lived in me, and now I can't help singing of victory.
Very good. And wait a minute, there's a little octave higher, Baba Bubbling. What was happening? Okay. Forgot we had a high tenor in the midst. This is one more time, and I think we got this thing. But now you understand the whole idea of this song. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around like zomboids. But when you've been saved, you got a song in your heart. And even when things are going wrong, there's something always bubbling. Do you ever get that feeling sometimes? Even when things are rotten, actually there's something bubbling inside. And praise God, praise God. Saved anyway. My parents beat me up. I'm laying in a bloody pool. My siblings are picking on me, but praise God, praise God. There's something bubbling all the time, you know? So this is what we are accentuating with the song. One more time. You're in. Okay, Irish, let's go.
Oh, you asked me how I can help this way with things that look around. You asked me how I can talk this way with problems all around.
Now, hold it. Did you notice that actually the sisters who remembered the song that I had forgotten, when it comes to, you ask me how I can talk this way with problems all around, they actually stomp their feet twice. Now, this is the proper way of doing the song. Let's be orthodox, please. You see, actually, if we were standing up, and this is my version of River Dance, at this point, we're okay? But anyway, yeah. That makes sense. Sisters, have you been doing it backwards and leading us astray? Now we like sheep or sheepesses have gone astray. All right, actually, that's a good point. So let's stop. And I'm fortunate to see most of you have shoes that weigh more than 10 pounds apiece. Should make things simpler. All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah. I can walk this way with things looking down.
Oh, yeah, that was effective.
With problems all around. You ask me how I can sing when everything is going wrong. Well, ever since Jesus gave me to me, I've been singing a brand new song. I'm singing a song of victory, redeemed. I'm singing a song of victory, redeemed. He touched my heart and he captured me. I lifted Jesus, lifted me, and now I can't help singing a victory.
Actually, what was the guy's name? Bing Crosby wasn't Irish, I don't think. Was he? No, maybe he was Irish. He was the guy famous for ba 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 boom. All right, next song.
What were the other ones we churned up out of?
Oh, yeah, Oh, Come, Let's Sing. Now we've just gone from Ireland. We take a quick journey to Israel. Here we go. All right. Oh, was that song too scary?
Come, let's sing, let us rejoice. Oh, come, let's sing, let us rejoice. A sad song.
They dance in Israel over just thinking about the Messiah is coming again, and here he's already come. So, Lord, we have laughter in our soul, joy in our hearts, peace. If you just gave us peace, it would have been enough, or love, or life, but you also gave us laughter in our soul. As we gather together tonight, we want to rejoice that on this Sabbath evening,
as we think about your great redemption, we can have joy and peace, love and life, and all other good things that are given to us through Christ Jesus. Lord, help us somehow as we express our worship, fast songs or slow songs, to be true people who are beside ourselves because of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, we got any more songs on the pipeline? What is it? Oh, those two, yeah. But you guys, it's been that long since there was this song.
You are my everything. You are my only one.
Okay, now look, let's bow our heads, and the guy who stole it, just raise your hand. I'll notice. All right. Well, that was a very nice song. Didn't you like that one? Praise God. We had one guy in our fellowship. He loved Our God Reigns. It was number 38 in our little songbook. The guy used to call it out every Sunday. Made no difference. We're breaking bread. We're stomping on people. Made no difference. Number 38. Got to the place to be a joke. He'd say number 38, everybody say, praise God, that was a great song. Because we've done the song so many times, everybody's so sick and tired of it, we couldn't stand to sing the song. Have you guys ever had an experience like that? Where people keep choosing the same song every week? What is it? It happens to every group. A great song. Just open the book. One time I had a gathering sort of for evangelistic purposes in my home. It was at Christmas time, so we sang some Christmas carols and everything like that, you know. And we had some believers, unbelievers, about 60 people. So this one lady, she was a wonderful black lady, and she'd come to the Bible studies we had and everything. She said she'd like to sing Oh Holy Night. So I said, okay, what key do you sing it in? She says, well, just about any key. So she started out like this. Oh Holy Night. Stars were bright to shine. This is pretty cool. She asked me to accompany her on guitar. You know? Well, the one problem she had is the louder she got, she went sharp. Now, basically, what I'm saying is, she went, oh, holy night. The stars were brightly shining. Up in here, like. Unbelievable. She finished the first verse. All the saints breathed a sigh of relief. Of course. Now, the young people in the back going. I got through with that first verse. And then she said, long way the night. And she started carrying up again. Well, by that time, she got nothing about it. Good time. Pretty tough. It's an impromptu song. A few people got saved just when she stopped singing. It was unbelievable. Okay, anyway. Hey, listen, we did two songs at Kenbrook this summer. I'd like to remind you of one, and then let's learn the other one so we can sing it tomorrow morning, okay? Probably some of you are friends of people who are glad you will not be here tomorrow, but the rest of you who are forced to come, well, we'll sing it, okay? Set Apart. Let's try that one. You know what? At the end of this meeting, can we take up an offering for the brothers with guitars? Because this thing just went. Huh? It was. You know, the older the guitar gets, the better, but you have to service it once in a while. Excuse me just a minute. Maybe it's the rain. I don't know. Has King been crying too much lately when he sings? Guys, help me out if you remember the song.
Set apart a chosen temple to the King of Kings. Set apart forever severed from all earthly things. Chosen temple, empty, weak, and small. There in heaven, greatest treasure, Christ the Lord is above. Christ the Lord is above. Set apart to share the fragrance of His blessed name. And with Him to share the suffering of a cross of shame.
This is a precious thing to think about. And it's something to think about as young people. You know, you're a chosen vessel, which means that you have a destined end. You have a certain equipping the Lord wants to do in your life. And even though this is your testimony, that you're empty, weak, and small, and everybody says, gee, you know, how could the Lord use me? I mean, I got so many faults and things. But He wants us to bear heaven's greatest treasure. And He allows us to bear that treasure even before we're perfected. This is an amazing thing, but I remember my early days as a Christian. I was saved at 20 years old, and my father-in-law was an active Christian layman, and he used to witness to people, and he got me out witnessing to people about Jesus and about salvation, and I told people how I got saved and asked them if they wanted to get saved, and people would get saved, and I was still smoking a pipe and cursing, and well, I had just those two bad habits. The rest of me was perfect, of course, but you know, even though I was a blank, still, the Lord used me as a chosen vessel. And it was a wonderful thing. I remember the night that I was only a Christian for 1 month, and my father-in-law and some of the men took me up to a college. And I went into the college. I was a sophomore myself. And I went into this college, and it was a men's dorm, and so these guys came down. And they started asking questions. The typical kind of, you know, bull session, rap session questions, the impossible questions, you know, if God's all powerful, can you make an immovable rock and move it, you know, things like that. And you know what? And so I'm standing there, 2 months old as a Christian, you know, I still haven't read the Old Testament, you know, and the parts of the New. And I'm standing there, and I'm telling you the honest truth. There I was, a Christian, 2 months, and God was giving me answers. They ask a question, ka-chink, like a cash register. I go, ching, and I give an answer. That people like sperm. Well, some of these young men, college students, came to the Lord. I'll never forget, I went into the men's room afterwards. because I was sweating like crazy, you know. And I went into the men's room there. I looked in the mirror and I said, oh, God, I can't believe it. I mean, you'd actually use me. You'd speak through me. I didn't know the answers. You know, nobody had trained me. I never went through the four spiritual laws or anything like that. I didn't know this stuff. But I literally was given like miraculous answers and helped some people come to the Lord. Now, so I was 2 months as a Christian, and I said, man, this is unbelievable. I mean, God uses you like a channel to express himself and his love. And it's an amazing thing. It's a really amazing thing. I hope you've experienced them. You know, the way you experience it, you've got to be a little bit daring. The Bible word is faith. You know? But if you remain a Chick-fil-A, you'll never know if God can use you. But if you're willing to be brave, not a chicken, suddenly you realize, hey, you know, God can use me. And of course, the mystery and the thing that makes you feel bad is he uses you while you're still imperfect. And that bad feeling makes you go back to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, please help me. You got to straighten out my life. I mean, you know, how can I do all these things and do this? And so the Lord starts, you know, working on your life. Have you realized you're a chosen vessel? I mean, not in theory, but actually sensed you're a vessel that he uses sometimes. It's really an amazing thing. Okay, this is the song we want to teach the brothers and sisters tomorrow morning. Okay? The Way of the Cross. Now, this song also is a song that was written. Actually, I saw this in one of the Chinese hymn books out on the West Coast. And, the Way of the Cross means sacrifice. I mean, what a great song. But, the song from this, I think, came from like the second part of the opera Aida. I mean, you know, like maybe some kind of a soprano or something could have sung the song, but a normal human being, there's no chance. So again, I took an Irish type of song, a typical melody line, and made this song. So how many of you know the song? Okay, you see, we got that little smattering, and the rest of you can learn it because every verse is the same, but the message is very precious. The Way of the Cross.
The way of the cross means sacrifice. As we
come. That's much too low, isn't it?
The way of the cross means sacrifice. As to God, you yield your all. To be laid on the altar, the place of death, where the fire will surely fall. Is the way of the cross? Are you willing for this? What does bearing the cross mean to you? You give it yourself and your all to God. Unto God are you holy true? As the voice of song and prayer we raise, how easy to say we give all. Till the brother cross lies just before, and sterner is duty's call. Is the way of the cross, are you willing for this? What does bearing the cross mean to you? You who give in yourself and your all, unto God are you holy true. Do you falter then or true to death? Just die on the cross and wait. Till the fullness of life from the loving one is filling you day by day. Is the way of the cross? Are you willing for this? What does the cross mean to you? You give in yourself and go on to God. Unto God are you holding? It's a plan of life for you guys to live. One with Jesus crucified, with the life alone to be lived.
of the risen, the glorified. Tis the way of the cross, are you ready for this? What does the cross mean to you? You who did it yourself and your own. Unto God are you holy? Look not at your king nor at your law, but take heed to the will of God. Let us look upon all nations' words and strong, and press on in the steps of the Lord. Is the way of the cross, are you willing for this? What does bearing the cross mean to you? Give
it
yourself and your all to God.
Unto
God are you
holy. It's a very insightful song, you know. It's so easy sometimes for us to sing, and that the Lord wants us to sing and worship Him. But you know what? If the singing isn't backed up by a life that's willing to suffer, there's something missing. And it's easy to say, oh, Lord, we give you all. Lord, we want you, Lord. And then some rougher cross comes in the way. And then what do? Are you willing to die for yourself and your pride and your embarrassment or whatever it is? It's the plan of life. And the consolation is on the other side. That you become closer and closer to the Lord. And so instead of feeling death, you feel more and more life. It's a mystery. This sounds like a very mysterious thing. I mean, you die to live, but it's really true. And the more you're willing to do that for the Lord, the more you'll experience that kind of life. Because what the Lord has to prove to you is that you have a life deeper inside of you than you realize. And the only way He can touch that life inside of you is by something outwardly being killed. And so you witness to a friend, and they make fun of you, and then they gather with two or three of their friends, and then they come around and make fun of you. Now you're embarrassed and humiliated and all of that thing. But something deep inside your heart pumps and says, well job, good job, well done. In a sense, there's a life inside. The more you touch that life inside, the more you have an overcoming victory in your life. And the way of the cross ends up being a way of life. Now, let's try to sing it again. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm not singing again. Let's have the sisters stand over there so they can look at the thing. And the brothers stand right over here, as if this were tomorrow morning. You understand what I'm saying? Come on. Brothers, right here. Sisters, right over there. So the saints can see the words. So right back there. There we go. Look at the words. All right, let's see if we can sing them. Ah, yeah, good. Yes. Yes, line up by size and color-coded sweatshirts. How are we doing? Okay, now why does this look a little out of order here? What's the problem? This looks like a choir that never made the choir tour.
Okay. Brothers, it has to do with you guys. You look like the sloppy agape bunch. Come on. Right over here, nigh unto the words. You're embracing them, as it were. Typically, of course. Okay. You ready?
All right, brothers. Some of you have that good peripheral vision to actually be in that little cubby hole and read. All right,
here we go.
You know what we'll do? We'll sing a couple of verses, and maybe we'll have the sister sing a verse. Everybody in the chorus, and the brothers sing a verse. Everybody in the chorus.
What verse do you pick, brothers? Number two?
Yeah? Okay, so brothers go first, number two. We all do number one together. This is which one you want? The third? You guys want to hop right in there, huh? Okay, good. Let's all do number one. And
all the way of the cross being sacrificed, as you died, you yield your all. Bearing the cross into you. You will give it yourself and your own.
Kidding, I wasn't going to do an SAT beat tonight. But, I just have a couple of thoughts on one scripture. So if you take out your Bible, and let's look at the Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I just want to ask you a question and hopefully get a couple of answers from you. The book of Romans is Paul's greatest epistle as far as logically developing our salvation. He starts right from the beginning and talks about us as sinners, and then goes and then burrows into the Jews and say, you know, you're sinners too, even though you have the law, just like the Gentiles. And then he shows us the way of salvation through Jesus. I think you all know that. You've all studied the book of Romans. He gets to the place where we're all saved by grace through faith. And then he begins to talk about our Christian life, how now, as Christians, we're to offer ourselves up to God, and that God fills us with His Spirit, begins to lead us by the Spirit. We begin to overcome problems in our flesh. And then he says that wonderful word at the end of Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Then he talks, that kind of reminds him of the fact that Israel appears to be against God's plan. And he goes into a couple of chapters about Israel and what their condition is at the present time. And he comes right back into chapter 12 here, and let's just read the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When he says, if you'll do these two things, you will prove the acceptable will of God, what he means is not that you will prove that the will of God is right. What he means is, in your life, you will work out the will of God. And the two things that we have to do is this. It's very wonderful. One, we get on this altar, and we are a burnt sacrifice. So, you know what? There's no Christian life without sacrifice. And so, what he says is, I beseech you by the mercies of God to give your bodies as a living sacrifice for the Lord. Now, let's just kind of put that in perspective. Basically, he's saying this. Now, sisters, you've been saved by His grace, and He's taken care of everything you need. You don't have to worry about yourself anymore. All you need to do is take your whole life and lay it down on the altar for God, because He's taking care of everything. I know this is hard to believe. You have to accept that by faith, because you're still working out problems, and, you know, for some of your sisters, you aren't married yet. This is a major concern. Some of your brothers, you know, one day you may be married. It's a major concern. whatever the story is. But you know what? Actually, the fact of the matter is, you're already perfect and complete because of Jesus' love for you. So why are you worrying about yourself? The greatest change in a person's life is as more and more by the salvation of Jesus, we forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him. And a good way to do it is to get yourself on that altar and allow yourself to be burned to a crisp. Take your body and let Jesus just burn it up. Forget about yourself. It's a living sacrifice. And then the second thing He says to do is allow your mind to be renewed. And as you allow your mind to be renewed and you're on that altar, you begin to show the will of God in your life. Now, it sounds like a very simple thing. And indeed, it is a very simple thing. But it involved a lot of the Spirit's working in our lives and a lot of offerings of our life every day in consecration. Now, you know, the thing about a burnt offering is you don't, you know, some of the offerings you take the hind quarter and you offer it. And some of the offerings, you know, you pull out the cow's heart, put it on the altar, and all kinds of gross stuff like that. But the burnt offering is kind of neat because they just chuck the whole animal up there and let it crisp. I mean, you know, the teeth, the nostrils, the bones, the meat, everything, see? And that's what God says He'd like you to do. You know, don't just give them your muscles. Give them the whole load. Your brain, your eyeballs, everything. Just put it on the altar, let them crisp it up. When you do that, you find life, not death, because you're a living sacrifice. You've been redeemed by Jesus. And the interesting thing about it is this. When the fire of God comes down on this altar that you're laying on, okay, you say, okay, God, that's it. I forget about myself. I give you everything. I'm laying on the altar. The fire comes down. Now, something wonderful happens. As the fire burns you, every Christian burns like a different color. You know, you have one of those, those fake fire logs? Up in New York, we haven't seen a real log of wood in years, but we have those Duraflames. And one of the great things about the Duraflames is you chuck these fake logs into the fire, and once the paper wrapping burns off, they've thrown in some salt, you know, like magnesium salt and potassium chloride and all this kind of stuff. And so you get a green burn for 20 minutes, and then you get a kind of a blue burn. It's really different salts, you know what I'm saying? Now, when you get crisped, every one of you is like a different salt. And the wonderful thing is, you know, this is what God says. He says, look at this. I got a rainbow worth of a burn in here. And you need to burn with the salt that God has called you to burn with. Everybody's got a different salt. Now, here's my question. This is like the quiz for tonight. Stopping it down, I hope you get 100. No. Let's just take a couple of guys. I'm talking about Peter. I'm talking about John. I'm talking about Paul. Let's just do those three. And each one of those guys fried on the altar. And each one of them burned with a certain color light. And they had a different kind of aroma. Because every Christian is different. You know what I'm saying? Everyone burned like they loved God. You could tell, how many of you know, Peter, John, and Paul, you could tell they all love God. But they all burned with a different smell. You know, some people use, one kind of cologne, some people use another. But when you burn for God, you have a certain fragrance. And each one's a little different. Now Peter, John, and Paul, they all burn with Jesus' smell. Odor Jesus, it's a certain odor that you can tell. We all have this fragrance of Jesus. But each one has a... that's a different fragrance. You know what I'm saying? And my question is, I'll ask the man over here. When Paul burned on the altar, what was his fragrance? Remember, they all smelled like Jesus. But I mean, what, let me put it this way. You got to imagine this. Now, let's just remember, now here tonight, like we're in this room, and we're all looking forward to vegetable pizza. But now, just before we have it, somehow, in the mystery of God's providence, Paul comes walking into this room and he starts talking about Jesus. Now, as soon as he starts talking about Jesus, he starts flaming. What does his flame look like? Now, it's different from John's, different from Peter's. What kind of salt has Paul got? Okay, brothers, somebody. David, you look like you're thinking, artist. Anything coming through? Or is the well dry? You're going to pump us some dust, or you got something down? Wait.
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, some other brethren.
Okay, brethren. Yeah, just take your roll back here. Can I look at the ball back here? Okay. How does Paul work? Well, what do you think? I mean, you read his book. You see him talking. You read in the book of Acts. You see the way he moves and shapes.
Oh, you just got to give me a one-word description of his greatness. Think about Paul. He's a short man with bow legs. He's bald, got a big nose. Not that attractive. Apollos had a fragrance of like the beauty of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. Apollos was a well-learned rhetorician. And he spoke, and people said, "Woo, God is so smart." See, that's the fragrance of Apollos. I gave you that one for free. Now, Paul didn't have Apollos' fragrance. That's why some people preferred Apollos over Paul. They said, "Paul, you stink. We like Apollos." Wrong. They all smell like Jesus. There's just different fragrances of Jesus. Paul. All
right. Okay. Yeah, you want that. Paul had the odor of grace.
Okay. Now, listen. Can you understand why I'm saying wrong? I mean, didn't they all smell like smoky grace? Of course, they were all barbecue grace. When you get on the altar, you're burning, man. It's barbecue grace. It's Herbert McDonald's. We all know that. It's generic. I'm talking about special. I mean, what's that? Well, it's not kosher, you know? Ay, ay, ay. Paul smelled Jewish. Well, I wouldn't say that, no. There was something there that was, Hebrew national, yeah. Okay, any other man?
On the altar anyway. Everybody can smell your smoke. So go ahead. Give it a shot.
But aside from like what his mission was, I'm just talking about the aura that comes off of Paul. You know, see, when you see Paul, you look at Paul, you say, "I see Jesus." But you see Jesus in the Pauline way. And when you see John, you say, "I see Jesus." But that Jesus is a little different slant. It's the same Jesus. You understand? So it's not like because he preached to the Gentiles or because he ate kosher hot dogs, but it's because when he expresses Jesus, it comes across in a certain burn, which is Paul's the easiest one. That's why I asked it first. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray for these dummies. I mean, I know you never heard this before because it's weird. It's nowhere in the Bible and it has no value at all, but I just thought I'd ask.
Okay.
Humility.
Humility is not exactly it. Now you wouldn't want
to deal.
And she's right. You see, if you really stop and think about it, when you see Paul walk into the room, what happens? You see somebody so fervent for the Lord, he's willing to lay down his life. You see somebody so absolutely for the Lord, you can just smell the zeal. He is so for the Lord. That's what you see in Paul. He's so earnest. He's so zealous. You say, "Boy, that's Jesus." And he reminds you of Jesus when Jesus went into the temple and threw those things over. That's Paul. Paul got into controversies. It wasn't really that he was controversial. He was just so zealous for the Lord that controversy was in his way. All right. Now, how did Peter smell? And don't say fish. Wait a minute. Yeah, the sisters. How about Peter? You know, I could be wrong on these things. I mean, this is just my imagination working feverishly in a time when I'm too tired to really think. What do you think, sisters? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you were just swallowing hard? Oh. I want to see somebody go, I don't know what they're doing. It looks like something I saw in the Muppet movie. But anyway, okay. All right, come on, son, sister.
Got the answer?
Yeah. Well, I can tell Jesus comes for you with a smile. You know, that's kind of nice. What's that? Oh, you hate? Somebody went to Pittsburgh and gave you that crummy sweatshirt. You hate the Steelers, and you're a Penguins nut, right? How come you don't have a Penguins sweatshirt? Don't be embarrassed. It's me who's the fool.
You just go ahead and join us. Okay, some sisters, come on, give me a shot. Okay, sisters, come on. What does Peter sound like? Can you describe it in a phrase, maybe not a word? If Peter comes, if Peter comes in here, the Peter we know from the Gospels, and he comes in here and he begins to talk about Jesus or something, what just lights up? This guy's burning for Jesus. How does it look to you? Sisters? Give it a shot. Hey, don't be afraid of me. I'm not going to bite you. If you guys are wrong, you're wrong. I know I'm right, of course. Hope. When you see Peter preaching, you sense hope. No. Well, actually, she's getting toward it. She's getting toward it. Forgiveness. Now you're getting closer. What do you see about Jesus? You've got to find me a name of Jesus that applies to Peter when he's preaching. What do you think? Anybody? Okay, brothers, any of you want to give a shout out? What's that? Okay. I think probably you're right. I think that sort of does come through. You know, when you see Peter, you get the sense of a humble servant. But the thing about, you see, I was hoping that you were going to brave the same answer. Because when Peter preaches, you sense the grace of Jesus. It's grace. Peter could just throw the net out over people and they feel like Jesus wants to save them. And it's an amazing thing about Peter. See, that's why he's the fisherman and the evangelist. I mean, that's just the way he smokes. When Peter is burning with Jesus, you sense, I can come to Jesus and get saved. Because Peter had no airs. He wasn't a big deal. He was a humble servant, like Chris was saying. You just felt like Jesus. I would say the word I was looking for, but now, this is just kind of just something to stir your brains a little bit. I would have said, Jesus is my friend whenever I see Peter. Jesus is my friend. Because there's something about Peter, he's intreatable. He that's why he's a gospel preacher. He just sense, man, look how humble Peter is. Look how loving Jesus is. Man, I want to come to him. See what I'm saying? Okay, John. John. When he's burning. Well, now there you go. But explain love a little bit. Just what do you mean? Okay, here's John, and he's thinking about Jesus. He's hearing and eating here, and he's smelling the veggie pizza, but he's not going for it yet because he's preaching about Jesus. And what do you mean you see the fire of love? How does love fire up? Does he say, okay, let's go around and hug each other? Huh? Not that love. What is it? Yeah, it is agape love. Yes. How would you describe it? Okay, listen. You remember last week John came and spoke with us? What's your residual impression? I mean, he didn't really come to understand me. I made it up. What was our residual impression about Jesus? How do you describe that love that we felt? What is it? A sacrificial love. Okay. A wash your feet type of love. That's an interesting way of putting it. Okay, sisters, back there. Anybody over here? How are you supposed to know? You don't know John? Well, you know, the wonderful thing about John, especially if we met him in his later years, is that when John looked at you, he knew you. You know, when Jesus went around from place to place, when he looked at a child, the child came to him. Why? Because like the child, he knew the child and the child knew him. And when John would walk into a room like this, he said, I speak to you, little children. I speak to you, young men. I speak to you, fathers. He knows people. It's that love that's, because you see, John is abiding. His burning is abiding. And so when he is burning and abiding, when you meet John, you feel a union with this guy. What is it? I meet John and I feel like we're one. I've known this guy. He knows me. He looks into my eyes. He knows my soul. Because he sees in pure light. He speaks on light and truth and purity. Because his love is burning with this kind of, you can't escape him. He's the scariest guy of the three. Because when he walks in the room, he looks in your eyes and he knows you. You can't hide. And that's the love of Jesus. And that's why when Jesus came into the room, he scared people. If you were a hypocrite, you became afraid of Jesus because he just looked in your eyeballs and he exposed you. That's love. You say, that's love? That's pretty scary. But if you're willing to abide in that kind of relationship, you discover Jesus. You see, that's Jesus' love for us too. Honestly, isn't that the toughest part about Jesus coming to us? He wants to come to you and talk to you, but he's going to look you over with his eyeballs. And he knows you. And that's why we're so uncomfortable. See? Okay, now, here's the good news. Every one of you, put your life on the altar and say, I want to fry for Jesus. I'm going to burn up. I want to burn up for Jesus. Jesus, smoke me up with your own fragrance, and whatever comes out, comes out. You don't even know what your fragrance is. But you know what? Other people begin to notice a certain fragrance about you. Now, I bet you, and I'm not even going to ask you, for fear you'll start speculating into all kinds of cornball realms, but I know that if you thought about it, every time you see Brother Stephen come, there's a certain fragrance of Jesus. And it's different from Lance. Or different from our brother Ernie Howe. Isn't that amazing? And yet you sense, wow, I touched Jesus there. But it's different. The fragrance is different. Well, I say praise God. Isn't it wonderful we're just all so different? You wouldn't want everybody smelling the same. You know, we say, heaven's cologne, I'm used to it. No, there's always a, man, there's the humility. There's the true humility. When you meet a man with true humility, it does something to you. And then there's somebody who's got joy, and then there's somebody's earnestness, and then there's somebody who's... It's just all kinds of fragrances. There's as many as the traits of Jesus. And here's the wonderful thing. You think you're going to burn in a certain way. You have no idea. The way you thought, when you actually get on the altar, other people say, you know, every time I meet Sister So-and-so, there's a certain kind of purity that I sense. Isn't that wonderful? It's not a self-conscious fragrance. It's a byproduct of a focus on the Lord Jesus. May that be your experience. I hope you enjoy being on the altar because it's life. And in the renewing of your mind, you begin to see, you know, my life with Jesus, it means so much to me, and the will of God means so much to me. And that's when other people notice who you are. Is it possible to be a Christian, really born again, love the Lord, and yet people around you not really know that you're a Christian? It is possible, isn't it? If you hide. Now, my theory is that you're hiding under a bushel, so smoke is still coming out. And they say, smells like a smoked spirit, but I can't quite tell. If you take the bushel off, they'll see something. And when you lay your life on the altar, that bushel starts to come off. And maybe you're a Peter, and your friends will get saved. All they got to do is smell the fragrance. Paul says here, you remember how Paul says in 2 Corinthians? He says, everywhere I go, I'm going in a fragrance. You see Paul coming to town, you see like smoke trailing behind him, you know. And he says, it's a fragrance of life for the people who get saved. You see, when Paul goes by, somebody goes, I like that fragrance. And they go after him and they get saved because he's smelling like Jesus. And other people, oh man, it smells like righteousness. It smells like holiness. Get away from me. And it's a fragrance of death. The people who reject the smell. Paul can't help it. I mean, he can't wear deodorant and hide. He's got the fragrance of Jesus. As we lay our life on the altar, you'll have a fragrance of Jesus, and the Lord will use you in a special way. Maybe at college. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of fragrances like wisdom.
revelation, life, joy, peace. Isn't it wonderful when you meet somebody who's just got peace all over them? It's a rare thing, but somewhere in the world there's somebody like that. You know, they love Jesus and they're burning with peace. It's all settled. Just come around. Whenever you have a problem, say, can I just grab a hold of your peace? Have a pizza of your peace. Peace, pizza. That could work. But you know what I'm saying? People will agitate all the time, calling up a sister peace. There you go. And all of you are going to bear that fragrance of Christ. It's going to be wonderful to see you. That's why it's so great to be in the body of Christ. Wouldn't it be terrible if we just had one flavor? We don't. This is great. And may each one of you manifest that fragrance that the Lord's given you. Whatever that particular salt is that He's got in your log that gets on the fire, you start burning blue or green or red or whatever the color is. Just be amazing. Be amazing. Let's pray, then that's it. And then I think they have some snacks, about 12,000 calories worth in the kitchen there. If you need them. So listen, would you remember tomorrow, we're going to come up here and sing? And so when I say, okay, and I'm going to get up here and speak like, and all the saints are going to say, oh no, not this guy again. And so listen, when I ask you to please come up so we can sing, don't take like 12 minutes. Man, don't put your hands in your pocket and start shuffling from the back. Let's get up here. I know, man. Girls over there. You guys got verse 2, verse 3. What's up? Huh? Maybe even in the singing. What's he cooking? All right, let's pray. Lord, I just come to you in the name of Jesus and ask that by your grace you come and move upon each one of your children here and set them apart as a chosen vessel, as a unique log on the fire of the body of Christ. Help them to burn, with the burning of Jesus. Whatever the particular fragrance is, we know it'll be of Jesus, and that's a glory, that's a wonder, it's a miracle. Thank you that you use us weak vessels to bear that glorious fragrance and light. Lord, do encourage every one of your children here to lay their lives upon the altar and to look around them in the body of Christ and see those sisters who love the Lord and watch their aroma and see the brothers who really love Jesus and watch the aroma. Such a wonderful thing to discover the many varieties of our many-faceted Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus, O Holy Son of God. You have more names than we could ever trip off our tongue in a half hour's time. And every one of those names are only symbolic of a reality of your life that's expressed in the fire that came when you died on the cross for us. Thank you for revealing, and even now revealing, your life to us. Help us to live that consecrated life upon the altar, burning for Jesus with glorious flame. That apart. In Jesus' name, amen.